It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. The end of the legislative session is 3 days away. Election Day is 3 weeks away. Incumbent Republican Governor Tom Corbett trails Democratic challenger Tom Wolf by a substantial margin in the polls. So what, if anything, can Corbett do to keep his hopes alive? And is there anything happening in Harrisburg that might help his chances? I'm joined now by phone from Harrisburg by Patriot News and Penn Live editorial and opinion page editor John Micek. Hello, John.
Hey, Paul. How are you?
Well, thank you. Has there been recently any positive development in the Capitol that might help Governor Corbett in his reelection bid?
Well, that's the mother of all open-ended questions.
I mean, the
legislature came into its last 2 days of session starting today, Paul, and it looks like the governor's two main priorities, liquor privatization and pension reform, are not going to happen and are going to, in the parlance of both his campaign and that of Democrat Tom Wolf, be kicked down the road for the next governor, whoever that is. Presumably Governor Corbett wants it to be him. Mr. Wolf wants it to be him to deal with. So if we're scoring it on that scale, then no. I mean, those are the two main priorities that the governor's been pushing. He spent the whole summer, as you know, pushing pension reform, and he's going to go into the final leg of the campaign without that arrow in his quiver.
By the way, is that a requirement of any legislature anywhere in America that any unfinished business before the end of session is called kicking the can down the road?
It seems to have passed into unofficial parlance. I think maybe if you like look in the dictionary under that phrase, you see a picture of it, just a sort of a generic Capitol dome. But it's entirely possible.
Well, will we see anything over these remaining days that might be in the legislative session that might be noteworthy, or should we just move on to other things?
No, you know, actually, there are a couple of bills that are worth noting, and that my colleague Charlie Thompson actually wrote a fine story about today that people should pay attention to. One of them is a prescription drug monitoring bill that would keep track of so-called, you know, doctor shoppers who are trying to feed their prescription drug habits. There are some other bills that would affect stream buffers and carbon dioxide emissions. So those are both also worth keeping an eye on.
We know that Governor Corbett has been pushing hard for pension reform. It doesn't look like anything's going to happen on that front. Is that something that the next governor, whether it's Corbett or Wolf, will be taking up early in the session?
Well, you know, both of them have promised to take it on. What they intend to do about it is anybody's guess. You know, the governor has aligned himself behind this one plan sponsored by Mike Tobash, a state Republican or state House Republican from Schuylkill County, who would change the benefit structure and make some other changes, but would not address sort of the long-term $65 billion or so cost of unpaid pension benefits. Mr. Wolf has said he'll figure it out when he gets there. He has not offered a plan. Both of them say they would plan to address it if and when they are elected, but we'll have to see when we get there.
The developments that have caught the public's attention out of Harrisburg, certainly the media's attention as well, are related to the scandal involving current and former state employees trading raunchy emails. What is the latest on that situation, John?
All right. Where to start with that? So, you know, Paul, as your listeners probably know, this is not just a state official thing. It's actually expanded to the judiciary. Supreme Court Justice Seamus McCaffrey, a Democrat, was apparently swept up in this. It sent a email from his private account to somebody in the Office of Attorney General. Ron Castile, the Republican State Supreme Court Chief Justice, has talked with Attorney General Kathleen Keene and apparently secured her cooperation in getting the reams of files that are caught up in this. The Board of Judicial Conduct Board, which is kind of being like called to the principal's office for judges, is reviewing a complaint about McCaffrey that was filed by a government reform activist named Gene Stilt out here in Harrisburg. There is still, let's see, what else is going on? There are a couple of stories that broke over the weekend. One of them was, of course, the political cost for Governor Corbett in all of this. He said that if he was aware that it was going on, that he would put an immediate stop to it, and that he was chagrined and embarrassed by the behavior of his underlings. So potentially, you know, that becomes an issue of him looking perhaps disengaged from the day-to-day management of his office when he was Attorney General. So there, you know, there's sort of a host of issues that are swirling around right now.
If in fact, there's no way for the governor to spin this, can he rise above it and be the Teflon governor, or is it going to simply stick to him and adversely impact his chances of being reelected, even though this reportedly all happened when he was Attorney General?
Well, you know, and it happened. It happened on his watch while he was AG. So, you know, if the maxim is the buck stops wherever the head guy is, then you know he is responsible for the conduct of the people who work beneath him. As far as him being a Teflon governor, he's proven remarkably sticky for the last 3.5 years, as evidenced by his 31% approval ratings, which is where they've been. You know, where they started 11 months after he's taken office and have pretty much stuck. Ever since, the governor has been remarkably unadept at sort of avoiding bad publicity. There's been no Teflon factor whatsoever.
Talking with Patriot News and Penn Live editorial and opinion page editor John Micek, the election only 3 weeks away. Governor Corbett is battling for his political future. What, if any, desperation moves might we see the governor make?
Yeah, I mean, he's gone hard negative after Tom Wolf. We've gone through three debates now and seen no movement in any public opinion poll. You know, Mr. Wolf, I think, went from an average of about 17.5 points up at the beginning of the first debate to 15.5 points up by the end of the third debate. We haven't seen any new polling yet since the third debate last week out in your neck of the woods in Pittsburgh at WTAA-TV. So that will, you know, once those numbers come out, if they come out, we'll see if there's been any swing one way or the other. But it's, you know, the governor is now going out hard after Mr. Wolf on his personal income tax plan. And that's about the Hail Mary they have left here. You know, Mr. Wolf, as you know, has called for fixing the state income tax. So he says it will be fairer and hand a tax break to middle class families. He's been maddeningly evasive when pressed for specifics on that plan of how it would work, what effective tax rate he would pursue, and what amount of income he would exempt. He's offered hypotheticals and has said he would, you know, deal with that when he got into office and had a better handle on the numbers. And I guess he was out in Pittsburgh yesterday and said he couldn't even commit to that now. So the governor's come after him pretty hard on that. It's been the only angle of attack. And again, as I've said, you know, we've not seen much movement in the polling numbers.
And certainly understandable why anybody outside of the greater Pittsburgh area would say that the last debate was held in Pittsburgh. It was, in fact, for our listeners,
yes. Wilkinsburg, I realize, geographically outside the city limits.
Yes, a great source of pride for the folks in Wilkinsburg that they did host that event, and we want to acknowledge that for them. So, now, in a bit of an about face, the governor, in an interview with State Impact Pennsylvania, said taxing natural gas may be a future option. Governor Corbett has opposed Tom Wolf's proposed extraction tax. So, what is the governor looking to do? What's going on here?
Yeah, that was a bit of a holy cow headline that he would consider taxing natural gas until you read the fine print of the state impact, the story by Susan Phillips. He's talked about taxing the transmission of natural gas within the state, which is different from the severance tax, which taxes the value of the gas at the wellhead. He gave no details to your Susan Phillips. And pipelines that cross state lines, as the story notes, are regulated by the federal government. So the state would be limited to transmission lines within the state. So it's kind of hard to know how much cash you would get out of that, since we have no numbers or anything beyond sort of a broad philosophical outline.
And he's bringing this up now, or it's coming out now because what? The governor had some sort of epiphany here, or what's going on?
I don't claim any insight into the governor's thought processes, but I mean, Mr. Wolf has made great hay out of his 5% severance tax that he would say raise about $700 million for schools and for infrastructure and a variety of other programs. The governor, as we've noted, has steadfastly resisted any sort of severance tax. He's made much of the fact that the state has passed a local impact fee, which I guess generates around $200 or $300 million a year, with the majority going back to counties and municipalities where drilling is taking place to help them cover the public infrastructure cost of that. But by throwing this one out there late in the game, he seems to be bowing to what is now a political inevitability that some sort of new tax will be slapped on the drilling industry in the coming years.
Patriot News and Penn Live editorial and opinion page editor John Micek with us by phone from Harrisburg. John, as always, great thanks.
Paul, thanks so much.
Coming up, Pittsburgh has made it to the Final Four of a tournament to find America's ugliest accent. So is that a good thing? It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.